Access number 31446, Dennis Vision, Rail 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Vision?
I was born in East End of London, Stepney, on the 7th of May, 1929.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background, what your father did for a living?
My father, when we lived at Stepney, he was a dustman. He drove the dust van.
Now, he'd been in the Great War, hadn't he? Looking at his medals and things. Tell us a bit about what he did in the war.
He was in the Royal Horse Artillery. He was wounded. He was shot in the leg. And basically, that's all I know, because he never spoke about it.
Do you think it affected him in any way as a man?
No.
Physically or mentally?
No, he was quite good. Very, very intelligent, actually.
But he just didn't talk about it?
No, he just wouldn't talk about it. Not to me, anyway. He might have spoke to others, but not...
Now, he was working as a
dustman, Stepney Borough Council.
And what about your mum? Did she work?
My mum, yep. She was a machinist. They used to make leather jackets and things like that. You know, general machining. And most of the relations are my aunts, my mum's sisters did the same.
Now, what was life like as growing up? You were before the war, 0 to 10. What was it like? What was your house like? What was the area like?
The house was a terrace house. I had two brothers, three sisters, mum and dad, and we had the bottom two bedrooms, and then behind that there was what we used to call the kitchen, and then behind that was the scullery. An outside loo, which you had to go through you didn't have gardens, you had little concrete pads which you walked through to the loo, so if it was pouring rain you got wet before you got there. Funny enough, talking of the loos, there was no such thing as toilet paper then. You used to cut up newspapers and tie it on a bit of string and hang it in the toilet. But other than that, the upstairs was my stepmother, my stepfather and me gran. And also, which we wasn't sure, it was a chap we used to call Uncle Jack. But apparently his name was Jackson, and he owned the house. But he had one room in it. But he used to give us a penny every week, pocket money. Obviously, we got various things from my father, pocket money. And we also had a tab in the local shop where we could go and get comics. Or a little bit, as long as you didn't push it too high, you could buy little bits and pieces.
Now you weren't that badly innocent, because both your parents were working. You were better off than some. It wasn't. You were quite in between, aren't you?
Yeah, we didn't have a lot. We always got good Christmas presents, I can't remember it, but I went to the school. That my father bought me two elder sisters a doll's house. And he was a bit of a dad hand at different... And he wired it up with batteries, put lights in it and everything else. And it was too big for the house. So he gave it to the school, which was St Thomas's in Arbor Square, right next to the police station. And
what street were you living in? Do you remember?
I was living in Copley Street, but Copley Street was in three sections. The house is not there now, but next door to us we had a sweet shop called Greenblacks. So we could go in there and get bits and pieces, lemonade and sweets.
That's where you had a bit of a tab.
No, we had a tab over round the corner in. A shop called Stockdale's, where we got our comics. I'm not sure, I can't remember rightly, but I think it was the next door didn't do papers. You get cigarettes and sweets and that sort of thing.
Was there a community feel in there? People talk about a community, but sometimes they romance. Was there a community in Copley Street?
Oh, Yeah, because everyone knew everyone else, like, you know. But as I say, it was in three sections, and we were in the Commercial Road end, and it's because also you went from Commercial Road to what used to be Heath Street. I think it's now named Head Street, and me gran lived down there. So when we all came out from school, we all went to me gran's, because that's the one whose husband was killed in the First World War. She looked after us then, because my mum was at work. So my mum finished work, that was cousins. We're a very close-knit family with cousins, where everyone knows everyone else's business type thing, because everyone keeps in touch.
You were growing up in the 30s, you know. So how would you amuse yourself on the street? What sort of childhood games?
British Bulldog, which you have someone on your back, and one gets one side of the road and one gets the other, and you try and knock the other one off in the middle of the road by barging them. And if you knocked them off, you won and went to the other side. Tin can copper.
What's that?
That was an ordinary tin can, two pieces of wood, which you put on top, and then you threw a ball at it. Knock the wood off the cans, and then you could run around, something like round as baseball. Marbles, they used to play that in the gutter. You roll them along the curb. Coming towards Christmas, we used to get a shoebox and cut little holes in it, and the cob nuts, that'd go up against the wall of the house, the box, and then you kneel in the curb and throw cob nuts to try and get them through the holes. Playing cards, which you used to get in cigarettes, and used to stand some up against the wall, and then you flick others at them. If you knocked them down, that's how you could win extra marbles, cards, and they could be anything from railway footballers, cricketers, anything. You know, it was quite a, as I say, we always had reasonable Christmas presents.
You'd start school at about 4 or 5.
I think I went to school when I was about 3.
Which school? Tell me about the school.
The school was St Thomas's in Arbor Square. Because I remember we going round having your drop of milk and your spoonful of malt, which they used to give you, but nothing like health and safety now, because everyone used the same spoon. It was just dip it in the jar and in your mouth and away you go. And every afternoon we had to go to sleep. They had little cots which we all had to get on and have a lay in. And that was it. That's all. I moved from St Thomas's to Redcoat School, which was near Latimer Street.
How old were you?
When I moved around there, I might have been about 6 or 7.
So still before the war? Well,
well before. And then...
Now, how were you doing at school? Tell us a bit about what you liked, what you didn't like.
Well, I liked reading. Maths, I was... geography, I wasn't bad. But then the war, spoilt all that, because I'll come to that in a minute, though. But
so you were doing quite well at school, you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I was enjoying it. And then I also had a job when I was 8. I was working when I was 8,
part-time
8 years old.
Oh,
yeah. I'd come out of school, right where I lived in Copley Street, right opposite on the corner, was a firm called Diploma Laundry. And they used to do what in those days was called bag wash. It was... They'd do your washing. It'd come back to them, but it'd be damp. And it'd be in a pillowcase or something. And I used to deliver it. And I used to go round the... Stepney Green, you had what we used to know as the Jewish buildings. So if we took stuff up to them, you might get a halfpenny or for delivering it. You might not get nothing, but it's...
A tip.
You've got a tip. But the big one was, with the Jewish buildings, on a Friday, it's a day when apparently they mustn't strike matches. I think it's a Friday, they mustn't strike matches. So you take the laundry and they say, would you come in and light my fire or my gas stove? So you go in and do that for them, and you might get a penny. So I was well off for an 8 year old. But, you know, it's a...
How long did you do that for?
Till the war started.
So quite a few years.
Yeah, I did it for a couple of years, I think. And then I used to get in those 1 and 9 pence a week, which, if you break it down, is about 9p new money.
Were you aware, I mean, and I know you're only 10, yeah. Were you aware of the approach of war?
That no,
you were
I didn't.
Doing things like identity cards and issue of gas masks before the war broke out. Do you remember any of that?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Do you remember the outbreak of war? Because some people, even when they're kids, remember the day of war.
Because I remember the first night they bombed London.
Now, that would be late, that would be in 40.
That's in 40.
But the actual outbreak...
It didn't really affect us.
You didn't notice anything. So that first year...
It was nothing, really.
Do you remember rationing coming in?
I've got a younger brother who's nearly 10 years younger than me. I remember him getting what they called a Mickey Mouse gas mask. It was a big thing. You used to put him right inside it. It wasn't just go over your head. He went right in. The rest of us had ordinary.
Now, what do you remember about yours? It was
a bloody heavy thing, because it had a big nozzle type with filters in it. It couldn't have been glass. It must have been a perspex of some sort. Used to steam up so you couldn't see. All you could hear was a jumble of noise when people tried to talk, and that was it.
What was it like to wear? I mean, could you breathe properly?
It wasn't comfortable. You could breathe, but I mean, it wasn't a comfortable thing at all.
Were you aware of what gas was as a
But
now, what about the other things that you might have noticed? Did you notice rationing coming in?
No, I didn't. We always seem to do all right for
sweets.
Well, be quite honest, we didn't used to get a lot of sweets because whether it might have been cost wise or what, we had sweets but not a lot.
So what about air raid precautions? And then we'll go on to the bombing. Did you have an Anderson in
your? No, we had nothing. We couldn't have put one in our yard. But there was a. Further up the road, they had bigger gardens, and the particular night when they bombed London, me mother, father, and I think me two elder sisters had gone up there into the neighbour's sort of Anderson, and I'm not my older sister, because I went to the pictures with her on that, was it, to the Ben Hur Cinema.
Well, tell us the story. This would be September 40, wouldn't it? Tell us the story, what you remember of it.
Well, my sister said she was going to go to the pictures with a friend, Iris, who lived close to the cinema. So my father said, you go with them, because although I'm sort of 5 years younger than my elder sister, I had to look after her. I was supposed to be streetwise as opposed to her. And so we went to the pictures, and I'll always remember it. It was Destry Rides Again. Marlena Dietrich was in it. And we're sitting there watching the film, the three of us, and all of a sudden the thing comes up, and would customers please go and stand by the wall, as there is an air raid warning. And so we all go and stand, and while we're standing around the wall, a piece of shrapnel comes through the roof of the cinema. Being as it was a proper flea pit, and it had a corrugated iron roof cinema. So then they cancelled the film, and it was So my sister said she was going to go home with a friend, make sure she got home. All right. So she told me to go home. Well, I didn't. I went all round Shadwell where the docks were on fire, had a good look round and everything.
What did you see? What do you remember? I know you were young, but
just flames, people running here, there, and everywhere. And so when I got home, my sister was already there. So I got a clip round the ear off my father for not going straight home, as I'd been told. Unbeknown to me at the time, my mother and father and my other sister had been buried in the shelter. The top of what was covered up with, what's it? Apparently, my father, so he said the cover had fell down over the door, that's why it had gone black, you know. But anyway, they were all right. And my younger sister was friends with the people in a shop, which was a dairy, just across in Charles Street, sort of the end of our road. And she was over with them and gone down their cellar, so she was okay. And then the following day, things, you know, weren't all that brilliant. So my father brought us to Barkingside, where I had relations, and we moved in with my gran, who had come down here by then. Well, that came down before the war. Moved down to here. We did have an air raid shelter. We moved into a masonette.
Now, when you said things weren't so good, what do you mean? That there was just a lot of damage?
Yeah, a lot of damage. As I say, there's holes in the roads and everything.
Was your house hit at all?
No, not at that time. But then, as I say, my father thought it was too dicey up around there. So he brought us down here. We jumped on the bus and came down to Barkingside. And then we lived in a masonette.
With relatives?
No. We moved in with relatives first, and then we got a masonette. But it was a bit small for eight of us. Eight of us, because me elder brother, he'd been very ill as a youngster, and he'd had mastoid. And I had an aunt and uncle who had no children, so they looked after him. Save him getting knocked about by us or what have you. Although he's the eldest, he could have in them taking him, I had an aunt who died. So we took him. She had a lot of kids, and we took a daughter. So as well as five of us, by getting rid of my brother, sort of thing, there was five of us. We then got back to six by having my cousin Lena. And then Lena, Joan, and Kitty were all evacuated to Sloughway, near Windsor Castle, I think it was. My younger brother, he was born in 1939, I think it was. He stayed home. My younger sister, who's 3 years younger than me, or roughly 3 years. So there was only the three children stayed at home and then we moved into a terraced house.
Still in Barkingside,
just around the corner, actually, from Brunswick Gardens to Merlin Grove, which is about 100 yards away. But it was a three-bedroom house as opposed to one bedroom and a dining room. That had an Anderson shelter.
Now what was the Anderson shelter like? Cause a lot of people don't know now.
It was made out of shaped, like curved galvanised steel. And it was bolted together, blocked off at one end, two small thin pieces of corrugated iron on the other end, so that made the door. You dug down about 3 foot deep, set the thing in that, and then normally they were concreted inside, about 3 inches wide concrete to help hold them apart. And the problem was they used to flood. Because when we first moved into Merlin, the Anderson shelter was right outside the kitchen door with the entrance to the shelter facing the house. So if the house got it, it'd all fall into the shelter. And also, it was full up with water. So I was about 11 then, I suppose, 10 or 11. And so my father and myself, we dug it out and put it halfway down the garden, sideways on. So, and but it was, and then obviously you put soil over the top of it, you know. And you'd, I mean, I put a fence around it, little fence. I used to let, because I used to keep rabbits in, because something you'd kill and eat. And
what was it like in the shelter? You know, did you have bunks or anything?
Oh, like? No. You just sort of got in a corner and or laid down as best you could, and that was it.
And this one was drier?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, they had my gran, who lived around the corner, she had a Morrison shelter.
Can you describe that?
That was about 9 foot by 6 foot, 3 foot off the ground, like a big table. The legs were angle irons, big angle irons. The top was about quarter inch steel, and it had wire mesh, like chain link fencing, but welded stuff, not the round the sides, and you got underneath that, but that was in the house. So you got in that, me gran had one of them.
So if the house collapsed, you'd be in there.
Yeah, you'd be in right. There, you should be all right, yeah.
You'd have to be dug out, though. You'd have to be dug out.
Not from Morrison, no. They'd just come in, put it, build it up in your room. And
No. If you were in a Morrison.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. If you were underneath, you and it, you know, the house collapsed, you someone's got to dig you out. Yeah.
Now, what about your education then? When you
when I came down here, I went to school at Fairlop School in Fencepiece Road, and it was then there was no such thing as scholarships, not for because of the war. You just had done that. I was quite good. The only thing was, I never did do a history lesson because I was used to take the school dinners round. The school was in three separate units: infants, primary, seniors, and myself and one of the other chaps. We had to push the I don't know, because we were a bit bigger than the others. We had to push all the food round for the kitchen, to the infants, to the others. And so that was our history lesson. Always got good marks.
You said you were interested in geography, but that stopped. Yeah. What did you mean by that?
Well, that with that, I mean, I used to like reading books and looking at and animals and where they come from and that type of thing. And I suppose as you get older, you get taken up with. I mean, when I went to Fairlop, I mean, I'd never played football or cricket in my life because schools at Stepney didn't do it. And so I was playing cricket, I was playing football.
Did you enjoy sport when you got
Oh, yeah, very, very much. But
what were you good at?
I used to play goalkeeper and wicketkeeper. But also one of the games we used to play was Hi Jimmy Knacker. I don't know if you ever heard. Well, that you pick up sides, and normally what you try to do is get the biggest blokes you can get. And the way it is, my team, I'm going to be the horse. So we stand one chap up against the wall, the next one stands in front, puts his head in your stomach, And then you'll bend, as though you're going to play leapfrog, and you make a long line. And then the other team come along and bolt onto your, the backs of those bent over, and then you try and make them collapse. In actual fact, I've got a photo of it upstairs. A picture. And it shows you how they're doing it. It's and that was one game. But now, these days, they won't let you play it because of health and safety. But, I mean, so it seems a bit silly to me, but...
So you're attending school. How what about, was there any bombing in Barkinside?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. There's quite a lot of bombing in Barkinside. In actual fact, where we lived in Merlin, we had our front door blown off and all the windows blown out. And I hadn't gone down the shelter. I was indoors, and I was lucky, I suppose. But I had what the bang. Woke me up, and I had glass all over me, but I didn't have a cup. So it's, then you've got the builders come in, and they just bang the door on, and if you've lost tiles off your roof, they put tarpaulins over. If you had windows out, they had a plastic material that you used to nail over the windows, because no one come around putting in new glass. It's just nail these things, and but there's quite a bit of where we live. Then round the corner, that cleared in Brunswick, they cleared about four or five bungalows with one bomb. When we finished up, we were able to walk from our place straight through to my aunt's over where people's houses used to be.
Did you used to play on the bomb sites? Because some people talked about that. Was it a big thing? Or
no, but I can't ever remember playing on bomb sites. Because coming down here, they'd stopped building. And in Merlin, it was a blank turning. You had a ditch at the end of the road. And then after that, you had fields and a forest. It's all been built on now, but it's... and we made ourselves a cricket pitch over the... So we used to play cricket over the back of the house. And the dog we had... if someone give the ball an almighty clout, we called the dog and said him find the ball. And 9 times out of 10 he did. He was only a mongrel, but he was something like Springer Spaniel. Yeah, but he was a good dog.
Any other close escapes from raids or any damage done in the area?
In the area, yeah, all around Ilford. Because I left school, as you did then, I was 14 years old. And I went to work for...
So that'd be what, 1943?
Yeah. I went to work for Lamb's Garage in the Woodford Avenue.
Now, what has?
Hoping to become a mechanic. But I used to have to do petrol pumps, lunchtimes, and... Now, this will shock you if you're a driver. The petrol... was 1 11 pence 3 farthings a gallon, not a litre, a gallon. So you work it out, it was just under 20p.
And what? Tell us a bit more. So what will you do as you work in the garage?
Cars. I mean, obviously, a lot of people didn't have cars or couldn't use them because of petrol shortage. Because you had ration coupons for getting petrol, and it was. I used to help mechanics stripping down cars. If someone came in with a puncture, I'd mend the puncture. Someone wanted a grease up, then you put it up on the ramp and use a hydraulic grease gun, and because you know where all the nipples are that you squirt into, and that sort. And I also used to do fire watching at 14.